Libby Purvis, Yachting Monthly Column, September 2012. Grit the teeth, face the worst, and think for a while about first aid. It could happen, you know, that boom, crash, knife, gash, twist, bang, scrape, smash, unexpected seizure. I never want to think about it. I hunch and shudder through the first aid courses, their fearful sense of disastrous possibilities, only lightened by the inevitable information from the instructor that the best way to get a good rhythm for CPR is to sing Nelly the Elephant. Imagine coming round from your near-death experience to find a shipmate muttering, off she went with a trumpety trump, 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 trump. It does not bear thinking about. But the great thing is there are better and better first aid manuals designed for yachts. The Motherlode is, of course, the great ship captain's medical guide with its advice on everything from chilblains to childbirth and daunting lists of supplies to be carried under the Merchant Shipping and Fishing Medical Stores regulations of 1995 as amended, not to mention the potential side effects and precautions on the Allied Ministry notice. Anyone commercial is bound by tight regulations on supplies and qualifications, quite rightly, though Sir Robin Knox-Johnston does relate that he was a bit startled when he was told that his clippers must carry enough body bags for every single person on board. On the last one, he asked, can we have the zip fitted on the inside? Anyway, in our uncommercial, somewhat cramped, usually medically inexpert cruising world, we need crisper instructions, easily read in a mild panic. A new, wisely splash-proof book called First Aid at Sea from Adlard Coles, written by two seafaring doctors, did rather suit our style. Not least because there are a lot of diagrams and a thumb index and large print and text kept to a brutal minimum. You don't want to be groping for your reading glasses, feeling sick with a boat going up and down, and one person moaning piteously and another one on a continuous hysterical loop of, oh God, you idiot, why do you have to do that? Oh God, and badly needing a therapeutic slap, if only you had a hand free to do it. So, the two doctor authors are brisk, prioritising, snapping nails blue, pulse, etc., and make it quite clear that they only want you to do the simplest things, limiting damage and relieving pain. Unnecessary treatment or intervention is avoided. Many conditions, they say, will be infinitely better treated ashore, even after a significant delay. Okay, phew. Pete Goss can sew up his own elbow with instructions delivered by fax, but we're not Pete Goss and we don't have to. Just follow the flowcharts, keep the boat safe, check whether the casualty is alert, answering, hurting, responding. Stop any catastrophic bleeding, free airways, and don't mess about pretending to be in an episode of ER. No amateur surgery. Don't close a dirty wound, they say. And if the helicopter's coming, this is what you do. It's a miracle of compression and concision, and the only major argument going on in our house at the moment is where the new book should live. First aid box or chart table drawer? Tricky one, that. I'm all for the chart table myself, since the first aid box already has a slightly longer booklet, which takes you through the less dramatic areas like athlete's foot and salt sores. But despite the nervous shuddering always engendered in cowards like me by reading first aid manuals or going on those sailing school courses where they say a steel winch handle can be useful to test for breath vapour, it's something to do once or twice a year. In the armed forces, they have a saying that in emergency, however shocked you are, the training kicks in. Maybe we should self-train, flicking through the unnerving little booklet at the start of every cruise. So that's the new resolution, then. And remembering what frail human wetware we all are is also useful when less dramatic problems crop up. I remember once thinking that a normally competent crewmate was being plain dim when he kept winding the jib sheet the wrong way round the winch, till it dawned on me that he was tired, underdressed, and becoming actually hypothermic. And we've had one friend aboard who became so seasick, so terrifyingly collapsed, pale, and capable of keeping even sips down, that we sneakily went off and looked up whether you can actually die of it. It turns out you probably won't if you keep on sipping, but otherwise, well, we put her ashore at Dingle. Found her in the pub a day later, fully rehydrated by Guinness. But it brought home that human fragility, which we should never quite forget.